This is the ZMAR Podcast. Elite Benefits of America helps small and mid-sized companies with their health insurance programs. And now, your host, Butch ZMAR.
We have to stand up, you know, with employee benefit programs. We have to stand up for claims. You know, people tend to roll over and give up, or they just believe that's the status quo and there's nothing you could do. And they complain that, you know, the healthcare system in America is a crisis and it's broken. But the reality is it's actually working by design. And in fact, it's accelerating. And so the Affordable Care Act actually gave it a highway path to do so. There's more lobby money moving around, more profits to be had by the people that control the money. And it's certainly not you and I. So just to give you, you know, maybe an example, we had an employee that called our office and they were concerned about a provider that needed to get a bill paid, and they didn't even have the doctor visit yet. And so they wanted the full cost up front, regardless of what the insurance does, even though they were actually technically in the provider network. And so what they wanted was full payment up front, billed to the insurance. Once they reconcile, they'll issue a refund. That was the process they want. I mean, it's super crazy. Why would, like, it doesn't even make sense. It's going against the status quo. That also tells me that independent practices are making the change on their side because they're not getting paid enough, or they're getting screwed on bills because people have higher deductibles today and higher out of pocket, and they're not getting paid. And so they want to try to offset. It's the same thing we're doing in our office. The Affordable Care Act slashed our commissions, and here we're 10 years into it, and we're paid 30% of what we were paid 10 years ago. And then now to try to increase our price even, you know, 10%, 15%, 20%, you know, a lot of people are balking, and I'll get to that too. But a lot of times, just from a global perspective, a lot of things that happen to us are because of our own self, right? And so you could call it self-reflection. Some people will deny this. They'll think that the world happens to them instead of because of them. And so, and there's obviously some exceptions to the rule where things happen to you outside of your own cause. But for years now, let's just talk about the last 60 years, we have a healthcare problem in America, right? That's, I mean, it's a problem in itself, even though it's working by design, but it's still a problem for us, you and I, right? As benefit consultants and employers, HR, CFOs, and employee and the consumer of healthcare. It's a problem for all of us. Healthcare providers are making a fortune, so are the insurance companies. Even the nonprofit ones are generating more cash than ever right now. And sure, they're spending it qualifying as a nonprofit, but still. But things happen because of us, right? So for years now, we treated healthcare like this open-ended credit card that we never have to pay. Can you imagine buying the biggest house that you want based on your claim to have needs and wants that needed to be done, and you demanded it, and all of a sudden the world provided it to you because you weren't the only ones demanding that expectation. And then somebody else is fronting the bill, right? You pay your little portion. It's a cost-sharing measurement. Can you imagine buying a multi-million-dollar house and only paying a small little single-digit fraction of that, right? So it's the same thing that's going on in healthcare. You could rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars a bill. You'll never have to pay that back. And you know, it's a safe haven in a lot of ways, but at the same token is we abuse the system. So as time went on, there was use and abuse in the system, both as a consumer and the providers, and insurance companies just a byproduct of paying claims. But eventually somebody has to pay the bill. So now all of a sudden, you know, years later, we're paying for it and we're trying to throw up our arms and saying this is unaffordable. Well, let's go back in time, right? And nobody thinks about the costs in the future. Same thing with our taxes, right? Once the taxes go up, how are they ever going to go down? Once they start spending it, how do you take it back, right? We don't have politicians that have the guts to cut things off and move, allocate things, or give it back to taxpayers. And if they do, it's in a small amount, and we won't get into that. But anyhow, but they were trying to do it with healthcare too, with the subsidies. But again, depending on income, you may get a lot, you may get less. They couldn't make it about age, but it is about age. And they tried making it about healthcare, and it was a tax thing. And there's a whole bunch of other things that go into it. Well, during this whole process, the healthcare system wised up and they figured out a way to game the system. And so they maximized all their charges. It started out that they were not making enough money per item or per transaction because things were being missed. So now you have to go, if you go in the hospital or provider, they're basically accounting for everything and then they're increasing the cost on everything to the max. That's why people joke when you get an aspirin or an Advil inside the hospital, it's hundreds of dollars. It's actually stupid, insane. There's no common sense in this, right? And so somehow that we just, you know, had this open credit card and we let somebody else pay for it. And then they started adding value to you and they claim add value, right? So they could charge for more services so they can make it more money. And of course they went as far as having us sign a document when we show up to the services and say, you know, hey, sign this please. And then they don't tell you anything about it and you're reading it and it says basically that you're fully financially responsible for all payments regardless of what insurance companies say, right? So all of a sudden you had an advocate, now you don't, right? They can do whatever they want, essentially, and they can bill you, and what recourse do you have? Obviously you have some within certain statutes of the law, but I'm not a lawyer to give you advice, but because mistakes happen on a regular basis and you call them out on it and they fix it. But sometimes you have to go to small claims or sometimes larger claims courts, but anyhow, so you sign off on this, giving them permission or acknowledge that you're going to be financially responsible, but they don't tell you anything up front, right? So just give you an example. I usually give personal examples so that people that are listening to this podcast, you know, I live the same experiences that everybody else does. These are my stories. In most cases, they're revolving around my kids. So I end up having to pay a bill at the pediatrician's office. I won't say the name because who knows if they're listening, but I paid the bill. I knew the bill was there. I know I checked the explanation of benefits at one point. It's a past due amount. The good news about the pediatrician office, they never sent anybody to collections. And so like I knew we were going to head back. My wife forgot to pay the bill when we were there and the staff never said anything. And so I knew it was there and it was outstanding for a while. And this time I was taking one of my kids there. And I just, the first thing I said, I got to square up on a bill. I already checked the explanation of benefits. I did not match it exactly to the invoices, but the dollar amounts that I reconciled briefly, because they're all under $100 individually, they look like they checked out and I didn't spend a whole lot of time on it. But, and I didn't look at the itemized invoice, and most of those invoices did not have itemized invoices. So I just, we're on an HSA plan, so a lot of those expenses were reallocated to us, so that's why we had to pay for it. So after I paid it, I'm reviewing the invoice, and there's these individual charges for each visit for, they called depression assessment, and it was $25 each. And so I went up to the counter, and I'm like, hey, what's this? And they said, well, we do an assessment on all kids when they come in because of depression. And I'm like, my kids aren't depressed. And they said, well, that's why we do the assessment. I said, well, then who gave you permission for it? And they said, well, it's an added value service that we're providing in our office. And I said, yeah, and you're charging for it. And they said, that's just what our policy or what we do here. And I was like, well, that's absurd. I was like, but what'd you guys do for the assessment? And the lady at the front desk said, well, I know the doctor does something. I'm not really sure what. And obviously that's not her, you know, I'm not trying to make her accountable for it. But I was just like, okay, so we're not even sure if we received this. And then you charged me. And then I'm not even sure that I was even aware that this even occurred, but somehow we're paying for that. And, you know, our kids aren't depressed, but I said, why are you even doing this? And they said, given current times, we feel that it's necessary to evaluate if a kid is depressed or not. And I was like, well, that's ridiculous. So I ended up moving on, but it's just crazy. But it doesn't stop there. There was actually a charge. So I know my wife went in on a Saturday morning. It was just the morning of a Saturday, right? And there was a $50 after hours or weekend charge on top of it. So you could call and schedule a doctor's appointment. That's convenient with your work schedule. And it happens to be a Saturday morning. And they actually charge you $50 on top of your actual charges for the visit, just because it's on a Saturday for a convenience charge. And I asked them about that. This is the second time it's happened. And I said, when were we notified of that? And they said, well, the staff member should have told you. And I said, well, but they didn't. And so now it's just he said, she said stuff. And so there was nothing really I could, I mean, I could push the issue, but my kid's involved there and I just let it go. But it's just, that's where it's gotten to with healthcare, where they're just trying to maximize value to us in their terms, right? But at our expense. And since our insurance and most, a lot of people, I'm not the only one, it has a high deductible health plan and charges are applied to deductible instead of a copay. And we had to be paying for it. Otherwise, insurance probably would have paid for it because it's probably just itemized coverage item that they have covered. And that's why they're doing it, because most of the insurance companies will probably pay for it. And even just relating it back to our office, then this happened recently, where we were asked to do administrative task that an employer or, you know, the staff member should have been fully capable of doing, but they needed assistance. And I warned them that it could take several hours to do, like, this is your task. And so, you know, in this particular case, it ended up taking 5 hours of time between two staff members of mine. And they balked at the idea of actually having us charge a fee for it because it was outside the scope of what we normally would do. And their little ad was, well, you get paid a commission on the policy. And I said, you want to talk about commissions? We get paid $300 a year off that policy as an agency. And you just tied us up for 5 hours because you demanded it, insisting that you didn't know what you were doing. And you insisted that it should be something that we should do. And as a customer service gesture, I was like, okay, all right, you've been with us a while. Let me, you know, let's see if we could work this out. Right. And so after doing all that, so I, without counting the renewal consultation or any onboarding or termination fees, and of course, this is a micro group, but I'm just giving an example as hypothetically that I still have to pay for the other staff members. I have to pay for errors and omission insurance. I still got to pay for workers' comp and taxes. And somehow they want me to think that I'm going to make money on $300. We've had the same scenario where we've made, you know, $40,000 on account. And we're doing all the HR services. We're doing all the onboard and terminations. And it's the employer's responsibility for most of that. Now, we're there to assist. They want to contract us to do certain amount of work. And it's not like I'm avoiding any of that. I'm just saying that there has to be a happy middle ground and accountability on both sides. And that's why some agencies and insurance brokers have come up with like a service agreement so that it's spelled out. But just to give a quick disclaimer, not all medical providers charge those fees. And I'm not saying that they do. I'm just saying that that's what's going on. And we've had other cases involved. And again, even with the broker side of things, that, you know, we do make commissions and some are fee based only. And anyhow, the situation is the boss. I just wanted to touch base on that. And so, you know, everybody needs to get paid a reasonable fee for the work that they're doing. But, you know, sometimes people push too much for expectations, right? And that's how we got into the healthcare problem that we have today, where we had high expectations, we demanded more, and then they provided more as time went on, and then they started charging more, partly because there was a bigger pocketbook. It's not like we were paying 100% of those bills. We were only paying a fraction. And actually, over a period of time, we finally are reaping the results, if you want to call it that, of those demands, because somebody has to pay for it at some point. And now we pay for high healthcare. So brings me back to 2024, new goals. We got to stand up, right? We got to figure out what's going to work and what doesn't work, right? We got to figure out through asking questions. Some people are like, well, I don't know what to ask. Well, I mean, just challenge things that don't make sense to you. And you could start with common sense, right? Or ask them devil advocates questions to try to figure out. You'll figure it out. So most people could ask enough questions to stumble through it. I'm not even perfect at it either. I'll ask dumb questions, just kind of figure out what's going on. And sometimes I won and sometimes I don't. And so you just got to figure it out, right? Another example, and this is my example. We just had a recent bill for an MRI, and they're adding a billing fee to the actual bill. And I think it was an oversight in some ways, but the rep initially said, well, because I didn't pay at the time of service and they had to bill the insurance company, they added a billing convenience fee on there. You have to watch these line items. We've had other bills where, and this is something to encourage you to do, is look at the line item bill. If you don't have one, and a lot of providers don't send them out, you're going to have to request it, and you're going to have to go through each line. And for example, if I was a little bit faster at paying that pediatrician bill, I would have challenged and told them to take off the $25 depression assessment because I didn't feel that it was needed or wanted or requested. But it was already, you know, a while later. When I say a while, those bills were probably 6 to 12 months old, and we just kept forgetting, and they didn't ask us when we were there, which, you know, there's a lot of good loyalty with that, I guess, with provider's office. But still, like, you just have to check all those line item bills, because things are going to show up on there that you don't want, or you weren't aware of, or maybe there's billing mistakes. We've had that too, where certain things that showed up and that weren't supposed to be part of it. And one case, it was gender specific, and I have boys, and it was a female description on there. And so we had to get it fixed. And you have to look at the itemized bill. I would definitely look at that, encourage that, start challenging things there and making sure that, you know, billing is what it's supposed to be. And it's kind of like what you do with the mechanic. A lot of mechanics have you sign off on paperwork saying, hey, based on what you told us, this is what it's going to be. We'll call you if anything's different. Well, the problem with healthcare is they don't call you. So even if things change, they don't tell you that things changed, or they're adding more to the bill, or they'll just ask you, hey, you know, since you're here, let's just go get that x-ray. Well, we're just like, okay, like, we didn't know. Well, then we get a $400 x-ray bill that we weren't really expecting because we went there for something else, right? So just have to ask more questions and hold the providers a little bit more accountable. And in 2024, if we get, you know, a million people across the country start challenging more, but even if it's reduced and we only get 10,000 people in a populated area to start asking questions, you'll actually maybe hold more providers accountable, and they'll start catching on, because that'll help reduce cost over a period of time. But so when we, just to give you an idea for some goals for employers in 2024, when it comes to some of these claims and then evaluating employee benefit programs, you know, there's a few things that I thought I would share with you go heading into the new year. And I'll go by employee sizes. And so, especially in Chicagoland area, there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of employers that are under 10 employees. And so that's why we have a ton of them. They're all over Chicago. As the employee scales up, the numbers get smaller, but there's still thousands and thousands of employers, even under 100 employees. There's probably tens of thousands, but anyhow, there's tons, right? So if you're a company that's listening to this and you're between 1 and 10 employees, you have very little leverage. There's not a whole lot we could do, or anybody could do. It's very transactional. Can we do something? Yes. I do have a success story with 5 employees. We reduced their healthcare costs over a 3-year period by $30,000 a year. And so, and that's overall between the cost sharing between the employer and the employees. That's a huge success story. It can be duplicated. We've had it duplicated in other degrees, but not that to that dollar amount. But on a 5-employee account, right, it happens, right? There are strategies you can put in place, and he's not going to have success that many years. It's going to catch up, and I remind him of that. It's going to catch up, and those savings are probably going to start going back the other way, at least for a short while, and then maybe hopefully it'll reverse back. But we have strategies in place to help control some of that, have levers, if you will. And some, with this size of a company, it's harder. We have less leverage. But the number one thing that you could do when you're under 10 employees is just start learning the process, right? Start learning to ask the questions, because once you get over 10 employees or over 20 employees or over 50 employees, you can't just like all of a sudden say, okay, I'm finally here. What do I need to know, right? You need to learn along the way. You need to ask questions. It provides you more time. So it's kind of like, you know, if you're a second string quarterback for, you know, a sports team, and all of a sudden you get called up, is that when you start learning the plays? No, you learn them beforehand, right? And so the same thing here, where you start learning the strategies, that way you can see the opportunities present itself when it comes. You may see it before the broker does. And that's fine, because you might see opportunities because you know more, or at least be able to have an educated conversations with your team, including the broker and the CFO, to make sure that things are going on. And you may not have a CFO yet. It could be your accountant. It could be you, for that matter. But as you grow, you're going to need to start looking for these opportunities. You got to be ready, and you could save money sooner instead of waiting. because once you figure out some of these strategies as you grow, you're going to look back and say, man, I could have saved some money back then, right? And I'm not saying some, like $1,000 a year. I'm talking about like once you start getting to a certain tipping point, it could be $10,000 a year, $20,000 a year, depending on premiums and who, you know, what strategies we put in place. The number two thing that I see, so we are a benefit consulting firm, and there are days where I probably should do business consulting and sales consulting. I'm not an expert per se, but I've done pretty well over a period of time, and I could point out some things with some of these businesses. And the number two thing is increasing sales. There's huge amount of ways to increase revenue to a company, especially if it's fee-based already. So most companies in America are fee-based. We're commission-based for the most part. But so you get, you know, digital marketing firms, you get IT services, you get, you know, mechanics. Increase your fees somehow, because I understand you don't have a hesitancy to actually increase costs to your customer, and you may not have to increase their costs. You may find other avenues to help pay for those bills. I know it's a hard topic for some of these small employers, but I'm telling you, like, the biggest reason that an employer that's doing fairly okay and they have some staff and an employee leaves, it's either number one or number two reason is because of health insurance. And a lot of those companies claim they can't pay that much towards their health insurance plan. And I'm telling you that if you could figure out a way to increase your sales, the healthcare premiums come more affordable. You could pay more towards your employees' premiums to help keep them there. It's a fraction of the cost of replacing an employee. And that's what some of these clients of ours and small businesses across the country can't, like, I don't know if they're just blindsided by this and they just can't figure it out, or it's a blind spot for them rather. But increasing revenue makes it more affordable. You increase revenue, add more employees, you get more leverage. Once you get more leverage, you can save money per employee, and then you can increase your profits per employee. And the claim, you know, pity me, you know, healthcare costs is expensive. I get it, right? I'm in the same boat as most of our clients and most of the businesses across the country. But I'm just saying that could be a big driver for some of these businesses. It's just hard to concept. But I'm just saying, like, even some of the clients. Like, we just had a client that recently lost an employee over $200 a month. I mean, that's it. Like figure out a way to make $2,400 a year more so you can help compensate for that. If you're an employer between 10 and 30 employees, there's definitely leverage that you can start implementing. Definitely be in the know about things so that you can see the opportunity, or at least understand when a broker such as ourselves or other brokers that are innovative and nimble in the marketplace, and be able to present an option to help start reversing that trend. If you're between 30 and 100 employees, get out of fully insured all day long. Fully insured market's going to control your costs. There is some transparency things coming down the pipe that's supposed to start happening January 1, 2024. But I'm just saying, you have a lot more leverage. You get to see more expenses. And I tell you, between 30 and 100, you may have a fractional CFO or an internal CFO, or it could be you, because you could buy more time and analyze things better. And you can look at a claims report and see where your claims are most affected on the health plan, and you could combat that. And that tool is so key, because if the price of paper went up and it doubled, right, from a supplier, you would try to figure out a way to control that cost. If it's how to control, you know, expenses on your sales team, you would try to figure out where's that leak and then how do I fix it. And it could be a cost in the manufacturing end, right? So it's the same thing. Look at these reports. You can control some of the cost. You could even almost transition to some cases to self-funded if you have a healthier group and you're able to function with the ups and downs, ebb and flows of claims. And 100 plus, there's a lot of times we run across when we do an evaluation, there's too much loyalty to the insurance company or too much loyalty to the broker or both. And if they're not providing you leverage to help save some money and make things more predictable for multi-years, you'll be in trouble. And so those are some of the things that you should be looking for in 2024.